This is Ozarks at Large. Yesterday, we talked with Janine Perry, the director of the Arkansas poll, about what this year's edition, released yesterday, included. Big leads for Republicans Donald Trump and Senator John Bozeman among Arkansas voters, for example. And today, more from the conversation about the poll with Janine and Andy Brownback, an assistant professor of economics at the University of Arkansas. Andy included what is called a list experiment in this year's Arkansas poll. He says a list experiment is a technique social scientists might use to understand responses to questions a respondent might think sensitive.
They've been used in a lot of different settings. Recently, as far as electoral politics, they've been used to try to understand how race played a role in Obama's election. They've been used to understand attitudes towards the LGBT community. And so what we use this methodology for is trying to elicit responses about a topic that we think if we ask people directly, that those responses would be colored by some sort of preference towards seeming a certain way.
This is to help pollsters avoid a phenomenon called the Bradley effect. In 1982, longtime Los Angeles Mayor Tom Bradley was the Democratic Party's nominee for California governor. And polls on Election Day and even exit polls showed Bradley, an African-American, with a sizable lead. But he lost. It turns out fewer white voters cast their ballot for Bradley than had told pollsters they would vote for Bradley. The theory held by many is that white voters in California in 1982 feared telling pollsters they planned to vote for Brady's opponent because they thought they'd be perceived as racist. Though some analysts conclude the polling was simply faulty. Still, there are questions people just don't want to answer truthfully for any number of reasons. Andy Brownback says a list experiment is designed to try to break through those hesitancies.
We use a list experiment to manipulate the observability of your response to this sensitive question. Okay, and what that means is that I'm going to ask you the sensitive question mixed in with several other questions and ask you to respond with the total number of agreed upon statements.
So you give me five questions. And if I agree with three of them, I just say three.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't want you to respond to any one question. Okay, so I might ask you, do you like white or black dogs? Do you prefer trucks or cars? Are you racist, incidentally, you know? And so there'll be these kind of questions that are seemingly unrelated. And questions where your response doesn't necessarily say something about your identity, right? So you're not a bad person if you like trucks more than cars. So maybe you say, okay, that's one of mine, and I like dogs more than cats. I'm actually racist. Yeah. And it's not necessarily that sort of cognitive process that's happening, but people are more comfortable revealing their response to this sensitive question, right? And so I've been working with a graduate student in economics, Aaron Novotny, about trying to understand how political opinions are sensitive questions. Okay, so when we directly poll people about what candidate they're voting for, that's a very important part of our identity. And so direct elicitation methods might actually be sort of confounded by these identity effects where, you know, I'm a lifelong Republican and it actually bothers me to say that I'm going to vote for a Democrat candidate, or I'm a lifelong Democrat and I'm going to vote for an independent candidate. And that is something that's aversive to me.
Even though you're a stranger, perhaps on the phone, I don't want to reveal that to you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's not obvious, and I don't want to kind of speculate about the exact mechanism. So there's a certain sense in which I could be signaling something to you, but it's also a sense in which I could be signaling something to myself, right? I don't like hearing out loud myself say that I'm not going to be voting for the Democrat candidate because I've voted for Democrats all my life, right? And so what we did was read off, we included a list of questions in the poll, and we split people into two groups. So the first group saw the full list of five questions, and if you'll let me read these,
sure,
you can understand why. why the numbers have a kind of a variance, right? So the first question is, I think small businesses are important for the economy. I agree with George H.W. Bush's foreign policy. I think the threat of global warming is exaggerated. I often find myself agreeing with Donald Trump. And I prefer presidential candidates who oppose the NRA. Three positive responses, right? This could come from you liking George H.W. Bush's foreign policy, thinking global warming's exaggerated, and agreeing with Donald Trump. Or this could come from you thinking small businesses are important, opposing the NRA, and agreeing with George H.W. Bush's foreign policy, right? And right. So there's no observable link between your response and that sensitive question.
So half of those polled for this year's Arkansas poll were asked all five questions. The other half, only four. The question about agreeing with Donald Trump, omitted. By examining the differences in the responses in those two groups, pollsters can infer some conclusions.
We can look at the average difference and understand what the impact is of including that question about Donald Trump. Okay. And so if the response on average to the five questions is, say, three, and the response on average to the four questions is, say, 2.5, then we can infer that half of the respondents answered positively to, I often find myself agreeing with Donald Trump. Now, this is important to infer this. Is that we're inferring it based on the population and not an individual. And that's the key to the mechanism, right? So no one individual has their preference revealed. But in the group that saw only four of the questions, they were then explicitly asked, do you often find yourself agreeing with Donald Trump?
Specifically asked that one question.
Yes.
Separately.
Yeah. So by looking at the difference in the inferred response rate of those people who saw that question couched in the list versus the explicit response rate of people who saw it outside of the list, we can understand how observability is influencing my statement of agreement with Donald Trump.
See, it is political science, right?
It really is. It involves numbers.
Yeah.
And statistical manipulation. Yeah. And control groups, right? So we're running experiments. It's a tidy little thing. I wanted to just mention briefly, if this fits somewhere and helps your listeners, that one of my favorite list experiments, I think actually the first time I was exposed to it in an applied kind of way, was people who were trying in the early 2000s to understand whether or not people really were as willing as they've been telling Gallup for decades to vote for a qualified female for president. And when they ran a list experiment and tucked a sexist, you know, statement into, it was cloaked in a list, and then they compared it to a list in which it was not cloaked, instead of being the only 10% of the population who was willing to explicitly articulate an attitude that says, I am not willing to vote for a woman, they found that it was probably closer to 25% of the population. I will point out that this was about 10 years ago, but I thought it was just such a tidy little way to do social science when our subjects are sensitive about certain topics, as opposed to, say, chemistry, where I don't think the molecules care very much.
Right. Well, there's a long ago anecdote that Nielsen ratings would always show National Geographic had more viewers than pro wrestling. And they went to people meters, which actually showed what channel television was watching, and suddenly pro wrestling was, you know, tripling the numbers of National Geographic. So even when people were filling in books, they would tell a little white lie to themselves of what they were watching.
That is exactly the same phenomenon, right? It's about observability, and some of us are sensitive, and I think that's what this one captures so well.
Yeah, absolutely. So we didn't ask specifically about wrestling, but I suspect that would fall on similar lines, right?
Right.
Some people gain a sense of identity from saying, absolutely, I love professional wrestling. And other people would be extraordinarily embarrassed to admit that, right? So if I go, you know, to my buddies at the bar, maybe I say that I'm, you know,
a big fan of Ric Flair.
Yeah, you know, Ric Flair. I was always a Randy Macho Man Savage fan.
So much being revealed here.
Yeah, and so, but to kind of put this in the context of the poll, support for Donald Trump, right, is a sense of identity for certain respondents, and it's very aversive to other respondents. So when we split the data based on the preferred candidate of the respondent, what we see is that people who stated that they were going to vote for Donald Trump were much more likely to explicitly state that they agree with Donald Trump than they were to even implicitly state that they agree with Donald Trump. So when we question them explicitly about their support for Donald Trump, they're very proud of saying that they support their candidate. And of course, this is great. This is, you know, American elections. We are proud of the people we vote for. Because they affirm something about our identity, right? And if we split it into the people who stated they were voting for Hillary Clinton, they were much more likely to explicitly say that they did not agree with Donald Trump. So it was in the single digits, something like 5% of them would ever say that I often find myself agreeing with Donald Trump. But when asked implicitly, where their individual response is not observable, almost over 30% of them said that I often find myself agreeing with Donald Trump. And kind of taken outside of the context of the election, you know, this particularly divisive election, often agreeing with a presidential candidate is almost guaranteed, right? Most of what they say is the firefighters are good. We love our military. America is great. You know, most of what most politicians say is something that's particularly agreeable. Now, to say that I don't find myself agreeing with a candidate is some sort of statement of my identity as a voter. And so if I am a Hillary Clinton voter, it's particularly aversive to even admit to a stranger that, sure, often I find myself agreeing with him. You know, the things he says about
whatever
yeah. are sometimes something I agree with. And so by looking at this kind of identity politics, we can see where explicit polling in a particularly partisan world can be kind of conflated with these sense of identity.
That's Andy Brownback, an assistant professor of economics at the University of Arkansas, discussing the list experiment included in this year's Arkansas poll. We also heard from Janine Perry, a professor of political science at the University of Arkansas and the director of the Arkansas poll. The results of the 18th annual poll released yesterday can be found by simply beginning with a web search of the words Arkansas poll, or you can use the link provided at OzarksAtLarge.com.